Nothing lights us up more than helping people grow their wealth through multifamily investing in a way that actually feels good and makes sense where they are right now. That's exactly why we created the Where Am I Now Multifamily Assessment.
Here's the thing, no two journeys ever look the same. Maybe you're just starting out and simply curious about what's possible. Maybe you're dipping your toes into your really first passive investment, or maybe you're craving that behind the scenes peek at how it all works.
You might even be gearing up to go big and acquire your first deal, or ready to scale your portfolio to new heights by teaming up with strong partners who can help you grow like never before.
Instead of tossing you one size fits all advice, boring and not helpful, this assessment zooms in on your exact stage of growth.
It helps us get to know your goals, your challenges, and what gets you most excited about building wealth through multifamily investing, so we can hand over the tools, resources, and support that actually moves the needle for you.
The best part? It only takes a few minutes, but the clarity you walk away with, that's the magic. Think of it as your roadmap to what's next.
Ready? Head to kittysisters.com/whereaminow to get started. That's kittysisters.com/whereaminow.
What if I told you that 90% of people who try commercial real estate investing fail within the first year? Not because they don't have money, not because they pick bad properties, but because they literally don't speak the language. I'm about to reveal the complete commercial real estate vocabulary that separates the amateurs from the millionaires. You'll speak commercial real estate like a seasoned pro through every phase of the deal. And more importantly, you'll know exactly how to use these terms to build serious wealth.
I'm Pommy.
And I'm Nancy.
Together we make the Kitty Sisters. We're apartment syndicators, entrepreneurs, and educators with big dreams and a $300 million multifamily apartment portfolio.
We're into helping successful entrepreneurs and founders who have a passion for real estate and $100K to $5 million to invest, all aiming to turn their business profits into a lasting legacy through income-producing asset investment.
This is Cashflow Multipliers, a podcast dedicated to your financial freedom and the lifestyle you deserve.
Look, I get it. You've probably been told that real estate investing is simple. Buy low, sell high, collect rent checks. But here's the brutal truth that nobody talks about. Commercial real estate isn't just big or residential. It's a completely different game with different rules, different players, and different language. And if you don't understand the language, you're going to get eaten alive. We own thousands of multifamily apartment units operating over $400 million in our real estate portfolio. And these are the terms that will separate amateurs from the pros. Today, I'm going to take you through the complete deal cycle. From the moment you see a property to the day you sell for massive profits. We'll cover four critical phases: pre-acquisition, under contract, during ownership, and exit strategy. Each phase has its own language, its own pitfalls, and its own opportunities to make or lose millions. Everything I'm about to share comes from owning over $400 million in multifamily assets. This isn't theory. This is the real-world language of building wealth. Let's start from the very beginning, before the property even hits the market. The first term that separates the pros from amateurs is whisper price. Picture this. You're scrolling through LoopNet looking for deals, but the smart man already bought the best properties 3 weeks ago. How? They understood the whisper price. A whisper price is an unofficial asking price that the brokers share with their best clients as guidance to help the prospective buyers understand the seller's expectations. Now, let me give you the real story about whisper price, because what I'm about to tell you could save you from overpaying by millions of dollars. In my experience, the whisper price is typically 5 to 10% below what the seller actually wants to sell for. But here's the catch. There's no official listing price because these deals aren't posted anywhere. This is not on Zillow. This is not on Redfin. Instead, these deals get broadcast through the broker's email blasts to their VIP clients. And here's what's crazy. For large multifamily apartments, there are often no price listed at all. Just property details and a note saying, call for pricing. But here's where it gets dangerous. A few years ago when the market was absolutely insane and everyone was fighting over deals, these whisper prices were already outrageous. I'm talking about properties that should have sold for $30 million getting whisper price at $35, if not higher. And because of the feeding frenzy to own these apartments, you could expect the final sale price to go 15 to 20% higher than even that inflated whisper price. In the hottest markets, I watched a property sell for $42 million that started at $35 whisper price. But here's the good news. Today's market is completely different. Prices are more realistic, and in many cases, properties are actually selling at discounts to their pre-2022 values. So that whisper price today, it's likely much more realistic than what we saw during that frenzy years. In fact, I'm seeing whisper prices that are actually below what the seller paid 2 years ago, which creates incredible opportunity for smart investors that understand the market cycle. Next is the call for offer. This is when the broker officially solicits bids from multiple parties. They'll send out an offer memorandum, set a bid date, and ask the highest and best offers. But here's the insider secret. If you hear about it in a call for offer, you're already competing against 10 to 20 other buyers. Here's a simple trick that instantly separates you from amateur investors and get brokers to take you seriously from day one. On your initial call about the property, ask that exact question. What's the CFO date? That's the call for offer date. This one question immediately signals to the broker that you're a professional who understands the process. Most beginners call and ask things like, how much is it? Can I send you my information? Those questions scream amateur hour. But when you ask about the CFO, you're speaking their language. Here's why this matters. If you don't ask professional questions on your initial call, brokers immediately categorize you as a tire kicker, not a serious buyer. And guess what happens to the tire kickers? They get the leftover deals that nobody else wanted. Once you find your deal, the first weapon is the LOI, letter of intent. This isn't just paperwork. It's a psychological warfare that can eliminate your competition before they even know there was a fight. Most beginners think an LOI is just a formality. Wrong. A well-crafted LOI demonstrates three things. You understand the property, you can close, and you're the kind of buyer that the seller wants to work with. Your LOI must include purchase price, earnest amount, due diligence period length, financing contingency, inspection contingency, closing timeline, and any special conditions. But here's the secret sauce. Sellers don't just want the highest price. They want certainty and smooth transactions. We want deals where we were not the best or highest offer, but because our LOI demonstrated that we understood the property's potential and could close without drama. One seller told us, your LOI showed that you actually walked the property and understand what we were trying to accomplish. An LOI, letter of intent, is not legally binding, meaning that even if both parties agree to it, it doesn't create a contractual obligation to purchase a property. That said, no one should misuse LOIs by sending them to brokers nationwide without a genuine intent to buy. However, you should also know that you are free to submit LOIs and still not win the deal. The key is to approach this with seriousness and intent, while recognizing that legally, there's no binding obligation until the formal contract is executed. Once the LOI is accepted, then comes the PSA, purchase and sale agreement. This is where your LOI suggestions become legally binding obligations. The PSA governs everything, inspection periods, financial deadlines, closing conditions, and what happens if things go wrong. Here's what kills deals, PSA red lines. These are the changes each party makes to the contract, and I've seen deals die because lawyers got into red line war over minor points. This is where things can get really tricky. During the first few days after your LOI is accepted and PSA purchase and sale agreement is being negotiated, you have a flurry of communications. To give you some context, PSAs are typically drafted by the seller's legal team. They are not boilerplate documents and are far more complex than single family home purchase contracts. For this reason, we always recommend seeking legal counsel. Do not attempt to work through PSA negotiations on your own. A missed detail can be extremely detrimental to your deal. Also, keep in mind negotiating a PSA can take time, sometimes months. Part of the reason is that you're often working through two legal teams, and in cases where the seller is a partnership, there may be actually three separate teams involved. Some terms are straightforward, while others can become points of contention. For example, on one of our transactions involving a HUD loan assumption, the seller pushed for a guaranteed closing date. We had to push back because HUD is notoriously slow and bureaucratic. Agreeing to a firm date outside of our control would have set us up for a default under the PSA. That back and forth dragged on. The PSA was drafted in mid-October. Negotiations spilled to late November, complicated by the holidays, and we didn't finalize everything until mid-December. On the other hand, on a different property, we also had a seller who was highly professional and intended to have a smooth process. That PSA was negotiated and signed in just 6 days, a record for us. The subsequent closing went smoothly. From our experience, you should plan for a PSA negotiation to take 30 to 45 days on average, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, but rarely as quick as our 6-day outlier. Pro tip, if you're a seller during the LOI phase and you identify a few potential buyers, it may make sense for you to send over the first draft of the PSA even during the LOI phase for their lawyers to start redlining and reviewing it. Phase two is under contract, and this starts with due diligence. What is due diligence? In real estate, due diligence is a process of thoroughly investigating a property after it goes under contract to make sure what you think you're buying is actually what you're buying. It's your opportunity to confirm the property's physical condition, financial performance, and legal standing before closing. Done well, due diligence helps you avoid costly surprises. First condition, the earnest money deposit. Before we even dive into the three types of due diligence, there's one critical point that new investors often overlook, the earnest money deposit. In a seller's market, deposits are usually non-refundable. This means if you discover problems later, you either walk away and lose your deposit, which could range from hundreds of thousands of dollars to over $1 million, or move forward and absorb the risk. In today's market, it's still sometimes possible to negotiate a refundable deposit. In that case, if you find any issue during the due diligence, you can back out with minimal harm, aside from some third-party cost. The refundable or non-refundable status of your deposit is negotiated upfront and spelled out in the LOI or letter of intent. Here are three types of due diligence. The first type of due diligence is called rent roll due diligence. This means verifying the tenants and income. Does every tenant have a complete lease file? Are the people living in the units the same people on the leases? Does the actual actual occupancy match the stated occupancy. In the past, this often requires sifting through paper leasing, especially with mom and pop owners. Today, most professional sellers use management softwares that makes validation faster and easier. Often your future property management company can take the lead here at a cost, but it's nominal. Physical due diligence. This is a top to bottom inspection of the properties, roofing, foundation, systems, and every single unit. A third party due diligence team usually performs this, often completing it within 1 to 2 days. The seller will notify the residents in advance. You and the existing property management team will join the wall, sometimes reviewing hundreds of units in a single day. Now, of course, you're joining the team, but you're not leading it. The due diligence company will be the one who's running that. What you see during these walks can vary dramatically. Some tenants treat units like their own home, while others leave them in poor conditions. This contrast is one reason why many investors prefer Class A properties over Class C ones. Financial due diligence. This is while digging into the property's financials, often alongside the lender. This involves reviewing details, income and expense statements, examining vendor contracts, service agreements, requesting additional documentation not provided before going under contract. If your deposit is refundable, you can walk away if numbers don't check out. If it's not refundable, your options are limited unless you uncover outright fraud. Many investors hedge against the unknown by adding a miscellaneous contingency fund, e.g. $500,000, into their underwriting assumptions. Speaking of financials, let's dive into some key terms that not only makes you sound like a pro, but also determines whether you walk away with profits or end up losing your shirt. First on the list is net operating income, NOI. The crown jewel, the king of all commercial real estate metrics. NOI equals gross rental income minus operating expenses, but not mortgage payments. Let's say $240,000 gross rent minus $85,000 in taxes, insurance, maintenance, management, property, and utilities equals $155,000 in NOI. But here's the secret that changes everything. NOI isn't just about today's cash flow. It directly drives the property's value through cap rate formula. Cap rate equals NOI divided by purchase price. That $155,000 NOI property at $1.6 million has a 9.7% cap rate. The $2.9 million property with the same NOI has a 7.4% cap rate. But here's where it gets dangerous. High cap rates aren't always good. A 12% cap rate usually means you're buying in a war zone, someplace no one else wants. A 4% cap rate might be Beverly Hills. The secret is comparing your deal cap rate for the market cap rate for similar properties. If the market trends at 7% and you found one at 8.5%, you might have found gold or a problem property. Debt service coverage ratio. While you analyze the deal, your lender is also doing the same thing. And the one number they care about above all else, debt service coverage ratio, or DSCR. Get this wrong and you might not get financing. Most beginners think getting a loan is about credit scores or down payments. Wrong. It's about one number that proves that you can pay the mortgage without going broke. DSCR equals NOI divided by the annual debt service. If your NOI is $155,000 and your mortgage payments are $125,000 per year, your DSCR is 1.24. This means your property generates $1.24 for every $1 of debt service. Magic number. 1.25 for good terms, 1.40 plus for great terms. Typically, agency lenders will not lend unless you have at least a 1.25 entry DSCR. Now let's talk about the term that determines how fast you get rich, cash on cash return. This measures the velocity of your money, how fast it comes back to you. Cash on cash return equals annual cash flow divided by total cash invested. For example, property A, $8,000 in cash flow, $100,000 invested equals 8% return. Property B, $18,000 cash flow, $100,000 invested equals 18% return. Here's what this really means. With property A, you get your money back in 12.5 years. With property B, you get your money back in 5.6 years. That's the difference between building wealth slowly and building it fast. Now we're into phase three, ownership terms. If you're syndicating deals, you need investor subscription documents. These aren't just paperwork. They're legal protection that can make or break your business. Get this wrong and the SEC, Security Exchange Commission, will shut you down faster than you can say securities violations. Subscription documents must include risk disclosures, investment minimums, distribution waterfall, management fees, exit strategy timeline, compliance isn't optional, it's legal. You need proper security filing, 506B or 506C offering, investor accreditation verification, ongoing reporting requirements, and if it's a large fund, an annual audit. We budget around $25,000 to $50,000 for legal compliance on every syndication deal. But compliance doesn't end at closing. You'll need a consistent investor reporting, annual K-1 documents, and detailed record keeping. Miss any of these and you're looking at the SEC fines and potential criminal charges. Now that you own the property, the real number is made or lost in operations. It all starts with understanding your profit profit and loss statement, but not the way most people think. Your profit and loss statement should be broken down by rental income, other income, laundry, parking, pet fees, operating expenses by category, payroll, repairs, make ready, utilities, insurance, taxes, etc., and net operating income. But here's what most people miss. You need the data monthly, not annually. This is where trend reports become crucial. These show performances over the last 12 months. And real patterns that monthly reports miss. Is your NOI increasing or decreasing? Are expenses trending up faster than income? Are you losing tenants in specific months? Various reports compare actual performances to your budget. If you budgeted $8,000 for repairs but spent $15,000, you need to understand why. Was it deferred maintenance? Was it poor contractor selection? Or did you underestimate the property's condition? We review trend reports monthly and variance report weekly because small problems become big problems fast. A 5% increase in vacancy can destroy your castle if you don't catch it early. Every property needs capital improvements, and that's where CapEx reserves become your competitive advantage or your biggest headache if you get it wrong. Most owners underfund their CapEx reserves and get caught off guard. A roof replacement costs $8,000 to $12,000 per unit. HVAC systems cost $3,000 to $5,000 per unit. Parking lot resurfacing, $3 to $5 per square feet. Kitchen renovation can cost $8,000 to $15,000 per unit for Class A. The amount of CapEx reserves is usually determined by the lender, but this varies by building age and class. Class A properties might need $200 to $300 per unit. Class C properties might need $600 to $800 per unit. On a 100-unit Class B property, that's $40,000 to $50,000 annually. Phase 4. Exit strategy. Eventually, you'll want to sell and realize your gains, but the exit process has its own language, and understanding it can mean the difference between a good sale and a great sale. If your NOI is strong relative to purchase price, emphasize cap rates. If recent comparable sales are higher, emphasize purchase per unit. If you've done significant renovations, emphasize replacement costs. Look, I've given you the complete commercial real estate vocabulary that covers every phase of the deal, from whisper price to the exit strategy, but knowing these terms is just the beginning. Here's what separates successful investors from everyone else. They don't just learn the language, they use it strategically at every phase. Every term I share today is a tool that can make you money or save you from losing money. Remember, our $400 million portfolio, it wasn't built by accident. It was built by understanding every phase of the deal life cycle, speaking the language fluently at every stage, and using these terms to create competitive advantage. Here's what I want you to do right now. First, pick one property in your area and practice calculating NOI, cap rates, DSCR, cash on cash return. Second, call a commercial broker and ask about their current whisper prices. Use the exact term. Three, request a sample PSA and study the terms I've covered today. The difference between successful investors and everyone else isn't luck. It isn't timing. It isn't having more money. It's having more knowledge and knowing how to apply it strategically. You now have the knowledge. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Your first commercial deal is waiting for you, and now you have the language to make it happen.
We can't wait to begin this journey with you. Check us out at thekittysisters.com/podcast.